about a passage of Scripture that we are, almost all of us, extremely familiar with. In fact, it's probably one of the few passages in the Bible that I would say most of you even have committed to memory. And the reason is because we say it almost every week here at Pacific Beach, and we'll do that in just a few moments. I want to talk about prayer. I want to talk about something that we know as Christians we should all be engaged in. As a church, we should be a community of praying people. And that's one of the things that Pastor and I and many of the other leaders here have talked about, that we want to really begin to urge and let you know the importance as Christians of being people of prayer. But if you're like me, I grew up in the church. My daddy was a pastor, and prayer was always this kind of dual thing that at one side seemed like it should be so easy because we talk about prayer and everybody mentions it. And yet at the other hand, it always had this kind of mysterious thing about it. We weren't quite sure if you were doing it right or knew how to do it. And that was often evidenced. I don't know if anyone's ever put you on the spot and said, well, Dan, could you close in prayer today? And if you've ever been asked to pray suddenly in pulpit, I don't know about you, but total performance anxiety, something like prayer. And you just blank, as though it's some performance, when that's not what it is. And then depending upon what tradition you come from, prayer can come along with all kinds of baggage. Some of us learn, whether it was taught or caught, that prayer had to be done in a certain way. And it either had to be done by, you know, holding something, or it had to be done in front of a certain artifact, or it had to be repeated just this way, or if you were from the kind of church I came from, which was, we were a little more wild in church, praying wasn't good praying unless you were getting, you know, a sweat going, and you were, oh God, other than that, you didn't know if God was even going to hear you. And so I grew up and I was just confused, what is prayer? Well, the good news is that prayer in its simplest form just means communication with God. Anytime, whether it's audible and in your mind, you connect in thought with God. You hear an ambulance, oh Lord, please help whoever that's good. That's prayer. And whether it's a petition, Lord, I need something, or whether it's just a, wow, what a beautiful day, what a great creator we have. That's all prayer. It doesn't have to come in certain forms, and it doesn't have to always be the same way, but it should be a part of our lives as believers. Now, one of the things I'll ask you at the beginning is for you to examine your own life. We won't be asking for any reports throughout this sermon, but to begin to ask yourself, how often do I pray during a week? I come to church, I say I love God, but how many times in your week do you reach out in some way and you connect with God, you communicate with God? I dare say that probably all of us could say we could do it a little more than we do. But how do we do it? What do we have to live? Well, Jesus gave us the hints. His disciples came to him one day and they had a question. They said, Jesus, see my hand? How do we pray? Because even in their day already, religion was such this cumbersome thing that they had people that you have to pray like this, and you have to rock back and forth, and you have to recite this. And they said, do we have to do all that? And Jesus said, okay, let's sit down, let's talk about this. When you pray, and these are the words from the Bible, he said, pray in this manner, or pray like this. Now, from this point, you begin to have it memorized, but I want to stop. Because we're going to go through what we call the Lord's Prayer slowly this morning and look at what was he trying to say. Now, I don't want to kick anybody's sacred cow this morning, so understand if I speak a little dramatically, you're going to take it in, you know, course and throw half of it out by lunchtime anyway. So we have come to say when Jesus said, here is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven. And we've memorized it, and many of us think that that's it. If you just learn those words, that's how you pray. And I'm not again reciting those words, but Jesus really never gave that prayer for the purpose of having you memorize it and then just recite it each week. In fact, if you will read the verses right before he said, pray like this, one of the things he warned them against, he said, okay, I'll teach you how to pray, but one of the things don't do, don't be like the Pharisees and go to temple, or we can say church, and just think that by repeating something over and over that that's going to move God. And yet some of us have done that. We memorize something and we just do it over and over thinking, well, you know, that's what God wanted me to do. It's not. He said, I want to teach you. So kind of let this be your outline. Let this be the kind of prayer you would give. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So let's look at it for just a moment and see when he said those words that we repeat, and we will in just a moment, is there maybe some kind of a clue I can gain as to when I go home this afternoon and I'm in my car and I'm driving and my kids are affording me a moment of silence, not. Is there, so mine might have to be in the shower tonight. Is there a time, is there a way that I can say, okay, Lord, you said pray like this. Here's how I can pray, and it can be meaningful to me. The first thing he said was, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, you may be different than me, but Tim, hallowed is not a word I use often anymore in common speech. Good to see you. You look simply hallowed, darling. I dare say if you ask too many young people, they're not going to know what it means. Hallowed out of the Greek had the idea of something being set apart for a special purpose. In the temple in Israel, all their furniture was hallowed. No one else could touch it. It was only for the worship of God. And so Jesus said, when you pray, start your prayers focusing on the sacredness, on the specialness of who God is. You say, well, duh. But you know what? Many times that's not the way I pray. When I finally get around to praying, I just roll out my shopping list. God, by the way, I need a raise at work, and I need this, and I need some more of that. And Jesus says, don't come rolling in like that. When you start your communion with God, focus on God. Hallowed be your name. Now, it's interesting that he didn't fill that in. I was doing some studying this week. I found over 500, almost 600 names for God in the Bible. Anyone have some? Know what some of them are? What are some of the names for God in the Bible? He's Jehovah. He's our healer. Yahweh. A way maker. Redeemer. Friend. I'm giving them all. The I am that I am. They go on and on. And I think one of the best things to do as you begin your time of prayer is focus on some of the names of God. Who is he? Because maybe today you need to focus on that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Maybe you're sick in body today and you need to realize that one of the names of God is that he's a healer. But focus your attention on the character of who God is. In the Old Testament, David said it like this. He said, when you come into God's presence, come with praise and thanksgiving. Start it that way. Don't start it with all what you want to say. Focus on who God is. And I'll give you a little hint. To do that already begins to put you in a better mood. Because many times when we go to prayer, we're like, oh, Lord, I'm in trouble. But when you begin to say, wait a minute, that God that I'm coming to is the same one that healed the man with leprosy, led the children through the Red Sea, all these great things he's done, that's the one I'm coming to right now in my prayer. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then Jesus said, then go on and say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm getting a little frustrated because he still hasn't said it's time, RC, for you to roll out your shopping list. And that's why I want to pray. He said, no, secondly, it's time to focus in your prayer time, not only on praise of who God is, but now it's time to focus. I want here on earth, in San Diego, in California, in the United States, worldwide, I want God's rule to be here on earth. What does that mean? Well, to make it very simple, if I was going to talk to my kids, let's think of the concepts of heaven and hell. What kind of things go on in heaven and what kind of things apparently send somebody to hell? Well, I think it's pretty safe to assume that in heaven we believe there's going to be peace. There's going to be no more suffering, no more injustice, no more sickness. Those are things out of the heart, the will of God. Then in your prayer time driving to work tomorrow morning, you can say, oh, Lord, hallowed be your name. You know what? We want your will done in San Diego, in this upcoming election, in this war in Iraq. We want peace on earth. We want justice for all people, all minorities. We want the same way you rule heaven. We want those values here in my job, in my home, in my neighborhood, in my world. You don't have to raise your hand. I was convicted this week in thinking about this, but how many times have we prayed for peace in Iraq? I mean, we'll campaign and we'll slogan and we'll write, but have we prayed for God's will to be done in this situation? So spend a time in your prayer saying, Lord, your will be done. Not always mine, what you want. Your character be reflected here in my world. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he says, okay, and give us this day. I'm so glad he got the food. Give us this day our daily bread. The idea being very simple, and you know it, I don't need to explain it. Lord, we do have needs. We have daily needs, and we are depending upon you to supply them. It might literally be for some people throughout history, it was food. I was reading a history book recently, and it got thinking about it, that through most of the history of civilization, there wasn't a Vons or an Albertsons you could go to. And, I mean, if you had a bad crop this year, you were pretty much in big trouble. So it was very dependent. God, we need you literally to sustain our lives with food and with water. Well, we can go to Albertsons, but we still have those acute needs in our lives. Lord, I need a job. I need a place to live. I need a more stable environment. I need help in my life. Now that you've focused on who God is, you've asked outside of yourself for God's will to be done in our broader world. Now it's time to say, okay, there are things in my life that I would like. There are needs that I have in my mind and my relationships and for my children and in my job that I need you to help. Fanny Crosby, one of the most beloved songwriters, wrote that friend, the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And we sing that and we know that. But her little refrain says, Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Why? Anyone know what the next line is? Just because we have not carried everything to God in prayer. You have a friend who said, you know what, if there are needs in your life, hope, bring to me. You don't have to light a candle to do it. I'm not opposed to lighting a candle. You don't have to say it in a certain way. But if there is something weighing on your heart, you can try to call the church, but you may not get anybody. But I promise you, Jesus will always be there for you. So, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Just stop and think for a moment. What are some of the things you need today in your life? In your careers, in your homes, in your physical bodies? Those are things today that you can pray and ask God about. Give us this day our daily bread, and then, lest you think it's time to sign off and say amen, he's going to turn up the heat. He says, and forgive us our trespasses. Well, oh, yes, Lord, please wash them all away. But wait, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Once again, it's so easy, Ben, to always run into God and say, here's my wish list, here's what I want. But he says, well, wait, I want some stuff too. If we're going to be talking, you can let me know about the daily bread you want. But I'd like some of that resentment you got up inside your heart. I'd like some of those bad attitudes towards your supervisor you have. I'd like to deal with some of those bitter things you've been saying about your ex-partner. It says, yes, you can have your daily bread, but let's remember now to turn God's light inside and say, okay, I got stuff that I need you to forgive, God, in my life, but I need to do some forgiving, and I need to do some soul searching, and I need to do some cleansing on the inside. I don't believe you can really pray until you have let God also talk to you and take a look at you and talk about our attitudes and the things we're saying. That's part of communication. So make that a part of your drive to work or your time in the shower or your time in the morning after breakfast as you just kind of peruse through God's word. Lord, what do you need to show me today? What attitude should I get rid of? What nasty thing have I been planning on doing that I need to give it, put that plan aside? Because that's part of what God wants, and he taught us to pray like that. So forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but please deliver us from evil. Now this one always seemed, and I'm almost done, this one always seemed interesting to me because I thought, why did Jesus say that? I mean, God's not going to lead us into temptation, and we know that. Lord, please, I beg of you, don't lead me into that lustful thought. God's not going to do that. I think he deliberately said, you need to pray that way because although I'm not going to do it, you need to be thinking about this. And you need to be looking at your life, not only on the resentment and the bitternesses, but some of those temptations and some of those plans that are not in line with my character. And some of the ideas you've been formulating and some of the ways in which you are beginning to go down a road that's not pleasing to me. Let's talk about it in our prayer time. You know, some of the decisions we have made in our lives as we look back, they were very poor, that did not reflect the character of God, and frankly, we got into a lot of trouble because of it. I think it's safe to say we probably never prayed about those things, did we? We never said, God, do you want me to go home with this person? Lord, do you want me to get in that much debt? Lord, do you want me to sign up for that? I bet you we didn't do it. So God says, when you come into my presence, Let's spend a little time looking at the temptations in your life, looking at the tendencies we have to kind of get off kilter. And let's ask for my help in getting back on course. And then he ends, he says, let's focus again on the great news, because God, yours is the kingdom. Yours is all the power, all the glory. Am I able to give you your daily bread? It all belongs to God. Of course he can. Is he able to strengthen us in our times of temptation? Of course he is. His is the power. That's the God we serve. Prayer is not difficult. You know these sentences now. But as we begin to pray them this week, let's not just by rote memorize it. Let's stop on each line and let's think, Lord, who are you today? Lord, what is your will here in my country? Lord, I do have needs, but as I look at those needs, help me forgive the people that I'm kind of holding things against, and help me see the areas of my life where I'm kind of getting off track onto things that don't please you, because it all belongs to you, God. That's why Jesus gave what we call the Lord's Prayer, to teach us how to pray meaningfully. God, you taught us to pray because you desire for us to pray more than we desire to pray. And you gave us an outline, and you gave us great concepts straight from your heart that we can bring before you. This week, as we drive, as we go to work, as we're in our homes, would you remind us to spend a couple moments and to seek you, to seek your will, to ask you about the things that are going on in our lives? I believe you will, and I believe it will change us, Lord. With all our heads bowed and our eyes closed for one moment, can we repeat the Lord's Prayer together, but just nice and slowly as we think about what it means in our lives? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.